Good morning again, everyone. This is a great day to praise the Lord. It's good to be seen and not viewed. This morning, we had a very interesting Bible class. And some might say I stirred up a hornet's nest. Didn't intend to, but I wanted to try to touch on a question that was asked earlier in our Wednesday night Bible class. And I think I did that, and it kind of made us think of a little bit about a few things, gave us some few opinions, but I hope, if nothing else, that it helped us to realize that first and foremost, we are always to serve God. And regardless of if we have difference of opinions, as long as we seek to serve the Lord, He will direct our path the right way. And we will be the better for it. This morning, I promised to reflect back on the Bible lesson we had this morning, our Sunday school lesson, and I will touch on a few bases, I hope. My topic, if I was to pick a topic, I would use the danger of partial obedience to God. The danger of partial obedience to God. The scripture that we had for this morning was 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. And it reads, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." That's why there is a danger, I feel, that is in partial obedience. Now I want to look at what we talked about this morning. It was an interesting account that came from Genesis chapter 12 in verse 1. Well, God told Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you." And then in verse 4, chapter 12, it says, "So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him." The only particularity is that God told Abram to leave his family, but Lot went with him. Lot was Abram's nephew, the son of his deceased brother Haran, as found in Genesis chapter 11, verse 28-31. Abram's father, Terah, had initially taken Lot into his care. It seems only natural that Abram to take care of what his father had begun. Besides, God did not say not to take anyone with him. If, as I mentioned before in our Sunday school this morning, when we disobey God, use it as a price to pay. God didn't specifically say, "Don't take nobody with you," but He did specifically say, "Get out from your family, from that country, your country." Now, we can know what God says at times, and we do try to follow God's word. Sometimes deliberately we don't stick close to the letter. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15, it tells us that we should give, and it will be given unto us. We should forgive. I'm sorry, I'm mixing my scriptures up. We should forgive the way that we want God to forgive us. We're supposed to forgive. Have you ever heard people say, "Oh, I forgive you, but I ain't gonna forget it"? Did you really forgive? Of course, we are supposed to remember things that happened in our lives so that we won't continue to make the same mistakes over and over again. But sometimes we remember things and we carry grudges we don't really intend to. And we say, "Oh, yeah, I forgive. I'm going to forgive you. Well, I'm going to forgive you this time, but don't do it again." And it's like, you still carry it in the back of your mind. I remember when. Did you really forgive? Were you obeying or were you partially obeying? And the other scripture which I made a mistake of in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, it says to give and it should be given to you. So if we give, God will bless us. We always have to give. But this is a question you can ask yourself, because I definitely ask myself. You'll give and you'll be willing to give to help someone. And at times, you'll be willing to give the shirt off your back, so to speak. But have you ever reached in your pocket and gave your last dollar? Or gave your last food that you had to eat? Gave your last to someone else? And you know that the Lord says if you give, He will bless you. But you partially won't give it because you partially disobey because you feel like, "Well, I know the Lord will bless me, but I don't know when He's going to bless me, so I better hold on to this dollar because I might need to get something else." Or, "I'm not going to give all of what I got because I know that the Lord will give back to me, but I don't, it just might come up when I need something. Just, you know, I don't know exactly when the Lord is going to give it to me. So, I mean, I trust that He's going to give it to me, but I just don't know what's going to happen." It's a human thing. But we trust in the Lord. We believe in His word. We are obedient. But it's that little gray area that we don't follow specifically to the letter at all times. We leave a little leeway. Or we tend to look for a loophole that we can be able to get out of in case if things don't go our way. At times we may clearly know what God is telling us to do, and we are willing to obey. However, we add to His commands. We may do so out of the generosity of our heart, but our actions come from us, not from God. It's just as dangerous to add to what God says as to subtract from it. Now, Lot did nothing to assist Abraham in his quest for God's promise. Remember, God gave the promise to Abram and his descendants, not to Lot. Lot was family, but he wasn't a descendant. Lot caused Abram nothing but trouble. Let's look at when their flocks became too large for them to tend it together. Lot didn't offer to separate and said, Uncle, we don't need to fight. We don't want our servants, our herdsmen to fight among each other. I'll go over here and you can go over there. Or we can split, or we can share, or we can do something, try to come up with a situation. He didn't do that. Abram did it. Abram came to him and said, we are family. We don't need to fight. You go to the left and I'll go to the right. Or you go to the right and I'll go to the left. And what did Lot do? This land over here looks real good. I'll take this side over here. And that's what he did. He took the choicest land, as found in Genesis chapter 13, verses 5 through 13. He left the desert for his kind-hearted uncle. And in so doing, he was seduced into living in the wickedest city in the world. Now, how about when I had to look this one up because I couldn't pronounce the name. King Kedorlaomer, I think that's the way you pronounce it. When the king and his allies came to seize Sodom and Gomorrah, he also seized Lot and his family, captured them, took them off. And because of Abram caring for his relative, he got everybody employee he had, every servant that could fight, gave him swords and told him to come on with him. He went chased all over Israel to capture his family back, risking his life and the life of his servants. That's in Genesis chapter 14, verses 13 through 17. But that was his family, right? So, I mean, who wouldn't go to save their family? He could have said, well, hey, that, he chose that land. He got caught up. How's that saying? He made your bed hot, you got to lay in it. But he risked doing that. And then, when God was preparing to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, Abram interceded with God. That's in Genesis chapter 19, verses 1 through 29. He interceded because he knew that was where his family was, and he didn't want nothing to happen to him. But I wonder, did it cross his mind, if I had only left him in Haran, I wouldn't be going through all this. I wouldn't have had all these headaches. I wouldn't have had all these problems. Probably not. Because, you know, like I said, that was family. And when you do for family, you do it out of goodness of your heart, and you don't think back to what you did or why you do it. You just do it because you know that's what you need to do. But because, in some way of thinking, he didn't completely obey. He didn't disobey, but he partially obeyed. And then God didn't outright punish him or tell him, I'm going to punish you because you didn't do what I tell you to do. But a lot of things happened to him because of what he did. Now, at times, our kindness could stop or prevent God's will for our lives. And some Christians may feel compelled to express love and acceptance at all costs, even when others are living in open sin and rebellion against God. Take, for an example, a member of the church will stop coming to church because the church, this fellowship with another member that was living immorally. Now, I'm not saying that happened here. I'm just using this as an example. It has happened before, though. Not here, that I know of. They have been confronted about it a numerous times. But the member that stopped coming over the matter was more concerned with offending people than they were with obeying God. Now, that is definitely not right. Do you think God will continuously bless that member that stopped coming the way that he would have blessed them had they continued to come because of their action? They thought that they were in the right because they felt like, well, I'm supposed to still be loving, show kindness, and that's what God told me to do. And I'm supposed to be that way. But if you know that the person is doing wrong, why would you continue to do that? Or how about a godly man or woman who marries a man or woman of questionable character? In an effort to reform them. And it was a generous gesture, but it derailed the work that God intended for them to do, or what they could have done. And it's going to lead to, oftentimes it leads to heartache and disappointment. Now, love is great, and we're supposed to love each other and love our enemies even. But if you know that a person is not doing right, how can you put yourself above God and figure, well, if I marry them or if I get with them, they're going to change? If they haven't changed beforehand, what makes you think that they would? You kind of put yourself up above God. Now, we all have experienced it. Well, I'm not saying we all have experienced it, but a lot of people have experienced it. When you're in the dating phase, you accept a whole lot of things that a person do. You kind of don't even see it. And then, after you get past the dating stage and you get married, then some of those things that they were doing kind of get annoying. And then sometimes you speak on it, and then it becomes an argument. And now that happiness that you had is gone, and what you have is heartache. All because what I was trying to do, I thought that if I brought them to church, they were going to change. And grant you, they may come to church with you. And they may continue to come while you're going together. But after that period, especially if you get to the point of marriage, well, the deed is done. So I don't have to keep doing that to win you because I already won you. It's happened. I can speak from experience because I was one. I wasn't in the church and had no desire to go. But I did go a few times. But after we got married, I didn't go. But at some point, thank be to God, He changed my way of thinking and my heart. And it opened my eyes, and I realized that I needed to turn my life over to Him. Although it took a while and a whole lot of things for me to go through. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that that's impossible for it to happen, because again, I said I am one. But to save yourself, and if that's your motive, you should not to do that. Any young person or older person, as far as that goes, because God is in control of everything. And he can change the person, and he will change the person. It won't be because of what you did. And it doesn't matter if people are good family members or very close family associate. God has the last say in everything. We can influence by our action and by our deeds, but we must do it wholeheartedly the right way. Don't let our motives get in the way of God. Because sometimes we feel like we can help God. Remember, Abram tried to do that too. When God promised him a child, and he was going to help God, it didn't turn out the way it was intended. It never does. But we have to remember, as I said before, that your intentions has to be to serve God. If you have the right intentions and you're trying to be obedient, God will show you the way. What if you let your emotions or your thinking clouds your judgment? And how can that happen? As I said, or as the scripture says, the devil walks about like a roaring lion. He's seeking who he may devour. He will tell you anything. Oh, you doing a good job. Oh, you are working with them. Oh, they are listening to you. They are following you. Or you can show them what you mean. Your actions speak louder than words. You can continue to do good deeds. You can give out of your pocket from your heart and continuously be made a fool of because you are not using wisdom that God gave you. Typically saying. We see this every day. People stand on the corner. Help me. Help me. I need help. I don't have this. I don't have that. I don't have the other. All I need is for you to give me $20, $30, $40. Give them money. We go right over to the store. Could be a liquor store. They could tell you, I need money for my baby milk. They go over there and they thank you and they got on some brand new shoes. They would tell you anything. But the devil plays on your heart to make you believe you're doing such a great job when you're being vulnerable. You're not using wisdom, which we try to practice. Come on, I'll take you to get what you need. Oh, no, no, that's right. Wisdom. We should use that. In conclusion, there may be Christians who worry about the moral standards Scripture upholds. That might offend other people, and they reject the values of the Scripture, and so they excuse these people for not living up to those standards in an effort to demonstrate their kindness and inclusiveness. These misguided souls behave as if they are kinder and more sensitive to people's feelings than God is. Be careful when you act as if you are more loving or kinder than God is. You are not. God has reasons for every command he issues. He knows what the outcome will be if people fail to uphold his standards and follow his instructions to the letter. You are never going to do anyone a favor by toning down the word from God. We all know that we all know that mean-spirited and selfish meekness dishonors God and harms his cause. But we must also be aware that our attempt to be nice can inadequately harm God's reputation and workers and his work as well. Which means that if we try to do more than what God wants us to do, and in the end, it's not going to work. Because God has already laid out what we're supposed to do and how we should go about doing it. We have his word. We know what we're supposed to do. But how often do we, not intentionally, but we do it, add to it. We make excuses for other people that don't do what God said. And we know they don't. The Bible doesn't say we're supposed to give up on them. We're supposed to continue to pray for them and continue to encourage them. But that doesn't mean that we continuously put ourselves in harm's way or go against what God wants us to do. I'm trying to think of what that scripture, I can't think of it, but I'm sure you have all heard of it. That when you deliver the word and no one seems to listen, you're supposed to knock the dust off your feet and move on because somebody else is out there that needs to hear it and will take heed. But if you continue to use your time and your effort on that particular person because you're such a good friend of theirs, or it could be a relative, then someone else is out there missing, is lacking. God intended for you to move on, but you still are here. Was that not the case with Jonah? It took a whale, it took a big fish to get him to realize this is what he was supposed to do. Because he wanted to do what he wanted to do. And he made the judgment that these people are not worth it. We can't take over for God because he already knows what he wants, how he wants it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, it states, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. If it hinders or distracts us from doing God's will, it is a pitfall to avoid. If we use the wisdom that we read in the scriptures, God would also guide us to know when it is time and when it's not. And as I again revert back to the scripture that was read, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober, which means self-control. Be vigilant, which means watchful. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We will think we are doing right. We will think we are happy. We will think we are doing God's will. And the devil will tell us, yeah, you're doing good. We will believe that because he's not only trying to derail the person that, or keep derailed the person that he already has control of, but he's also throwing us off course also. So this is my lesson this morning, to be obedient, but try to look out for the dangers of being partially obedient. We all know, if we read the scriptures, we definitely know what we're supposed to do. Don't get led astray by the wiles of the devil. And continue to pray and ask God to guide you in doing the right thing. I hope it's something that I said this morning that will help you to be mindful of that, and that God will help us all continue to do His will in His way. As I stated last week, in the back of your bulletin, we issue these every week. Put them in your pocket, keep them with you, put them in your purse, put them in your car. Hand them out to people that you know. It also helps them to know who they can get in touch with by our church. If they're looking for a church home, they should know that anyway, though, if they know you, because they know where you go. It also tells them the plan of salvation on the back, in a little corner here, of what they should do. If you can't remember it, you can just hand it to them and show them. Or you can read it to them. You don't have to be such a great scholar that you can quote scripture, book, chapter, and verse right off the top of your head for everything. There's going to be situations that's going to come up that you're not going to be able to remember. If you live long enough, you're going to not be able to remember anyway. You may not even remember the person's name that you're talking to, but you have this as an aid. You have your phone as an aid. But this still is useful because this is something you can say, here you go, you can take this care with you. They have something that they can refer back to or where to look. I hope, like I said, that it will help you in your daily walk, trying to deliver God's word, trying to live a life of a Christian. If you have something on your heart that you need to bring up and you want prayers for, you can come forward as we prepare to sing the invitation song. May God bless you.